Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, you say we lift our hands and let's just love the Lord together. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty acts. You're so gracious. You are so kind. God, we stand in awe of you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, we love you, we love you, God, with everything that's in us. Lord God, you are mighty. You are holy, 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 holy. God, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you, and we adore you. We thank you, Lord, for your beautiful, beautiful, beautiful presence. Amen. Your gracious, gracious goodness to us. Praise God, praise God. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. And to say that we have been blessed and sat together in some heavenly places would be pretty understated. But I feel the Lord. I feel the goodness of God. The goodness of God here today. Amen. And appreciate the kind remarks of all that was said. I can tell you this for sure. I really have sought the mind of God for today. And so I'm going, and I feel like I found it about a minute and a half ago. So there we go. But I'd like for you, if you would, to turn with me to Psalms 139. My apologies. They're not real heartfelt, but my apologies to anybody that has heard any of this before. I really have striven for the mind of God, and so this is what we got. Now, I'm going to tell you, from all that I have heard, I desperately need to get Brother McDonald's CD, which thankfully I'm getting the set. And so that's what I have missed so far. And it's obvious that I missed a gold mine spiritually. And I intend to go through that on my way back to Orlando Airport tomorrow. So that when I get on that plane, I will not have missed it, except for not being able to be in service. And don't ever kid yourself that you're going to get it off of a CD like you could have in church. Don't ever kid yourself. But I am going to beg God for mercy for me to squeeze as much out of it as I can. And so it's all been so good. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Garrett tonight. Love this man very, very much. All of the men that spoke, all of the men that are here, Brother Bass, his family, this church. Thank you so much for your friendship, not just to me, of course, but to the kingdom of God. I mean that very, very much. And Brother McMullen, brothers and sisters, if we ever heard from God, we really heard from God last night. And that was one of the most profound moments in my 37 years of church life. And it answered so many questions and it connected so many dots. And I saw so many things so clearly. And thank you. I could talk for an hour about how that affected me. But God bless you and thank you for obeying the Lord very, very, very much. I know you didn't get that message out of handfuls on purpose. Praise God. That's you had to sit in the presence of God for quite a while to get that. Thank you. Well, we want to move on. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1 of Psalms 139. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine up rising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That's pretty good when we don't have the time. But he does. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether, or completely, or thoroughly. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And then in verse 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And let's ask that our God would indeed talk to us today. Lord Jesus, we are so mindful of you. We are so awestruck of you and your gracious goodness to us, your presence. So God, talk to us thoroughly and deeply today. Quicken us by your word and by your spirit. Make us alive and cause us to understand and to hear and receive all that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm going to read one other verse from Jeremiah 32:27. Says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? Amen. It is a comfort. Once you're saved, to know that God knows everything about you. Now, David said, such knowledge is too high for me. He said, I cannot attain unto all of this. Your thorough understanding of us, who, again, we don't even understand ourselves, and we may think we understand others. But don't ever doubt that humanity is full of surprises. And don't take anything for granted. Amen. And but God, with God, He is utterly, thoroughly, absolutely, totally, unequivocally in full, complete knowledge of every single item about us, down to the smallest microcosm, to every bacteria. If he knows the stars of the heavens and has a name for every one of them, you can mark it down. He knows our down sittings and our uprisings and our thoughts afar off. Praise God. And the fact that he can have all of this knowledge and love us so deeply is mind-boggling. Is mind-boggling. And if you wonder how deeply he does love us, I think one of the most profound verses of Scripture that has probably affected me more than any other verse in the past 15 to 20 years, more than any other, is where Jesus told the disciples, and he said, "As the Father hath loved me," and if you just stop right there and consider, I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm moving slow out of the station today, praise God. And if we get a good wind behind us and we go downhill, we may blow the whistle, praise God. But he said, "As the Father hath loved me," and if you stop right there and consider, we know that God, amen, who could not bleed, who could not suffer, who tempts no man, cannot be tempted, certainly could not die, amen, conceived of a way, and it was conceived literally through the womb of Mary, whereby this God that couldn't die could take on human flesh and taste death for every man. And this God who tempts nor can be tempted would be in all points tempted, because he was made like unto his brethren. And this God that could not bleed would shed the only innocent blood that would ever be shed. Amen. So when you consider the love affair between the Father and the Son, between the Spirit and the flesh, between the divinity and the humanity, and this humanity with its free moral agency, the first man, Adam, lost everything through his free moral agency in disobedience. The second man, Adam, had to win it back on the same playing ground. If he didn't, it was a farce. If he didn't, it was a joke. And so it had to be the exact same playing ground. Amen. And he, amen, yielded in all things. He said, "Whatsoever the Father speaks unto me, that I do." And in the garden, amen, that great, great, great test whereby he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not this will, but thy will be done." And so God redeemed man unto himself through man. Amen. They got mad at Jesus. You said, "You being a man, make us yourself God." And they had it so backwards. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Being God, he made himself a man. Hallelujah. Amen. But Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me." Now, how deep is that love? How far does it go? How profound is it? How mind-boggling. If nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, think about that love between the humanity and the divinity, the Spirit and the flesh. And yet Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so love I thee." Now if he didn't mean it, he wouldn't have said it. Amen. If he said it, he meant it. He said, "If it were not so, I'd have told you." So he told us how much he loves us, and how he can love us so much with so much knowledge about us is mind-boggling. Is mind-boggling. And how he could go all the way to Calvary to such an ignominious death and pain-ridden and mocking and yet endure the shame for the joy that was set before him. The joy of taking the likes of you and I to home with him. Home with him. It's mind-boggling. And so here David is getting an insight into the knowledge of God. And then he takes it a step further in 14th through 18th verses, when he talks about when he was conceived in the womb, and how that God had already written down each particular member of this intricate body system before it was ever even formed. He had it all down. He saw us, yet being imperfect. And so there is a similitude being given there, that what God did literally, physically, thank God he does spiritually. That when he found us, we were without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But he began to speak, and light came, and he began to form us out of a void into being what we are today. It's like when he chose Gideon. he said, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor," to a man that was hiding behind a wine press, trying to figure out where to scope away his barley, lest somebody come steal it from him.
Yeah.
But God already called him a mighty man of valor when he was far from it.
Right.
But he didn't choose him based on what he was, but on what he knew he was going to become. And therein lies the secret. He didn't choose us because of what we were, amen, but what he knew he could make out of us. And that means everything in the world. Albeit, I am going to stop here for just a second. You know, I like this one speaker a day business. This, thank you, thank God. I can scratch every itch I got, praise God. And the thief on the cross, amen, pre-dispensation of grace, but he was saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You must be born again, brother, from the day of Pentecost on. It's that or nothing. I'm sorry. I'm not being ugly, but I am being scriptural. Hallelujah. But that man that was on that cross, he was cursing Jesus as well as the man on the left. Amen. And casting the same in his teeth, but somewhere he caught himself. He realized, "I'm here because I deserve to be." And he said, look, hey, you over there. Don't you fear God here. We're here because of our just reward. This man hath done nothing amiss. And he said, "Would you remember me?" And I'm going to tell you how much he loves us. Here's a man that would never pass out one track. He would never give one thin dime in tithes. He would never sit on a pew one time. He had nothing to offer. Not one single thing did he have to offer. But he loved him so much. He loved him so much. Amen. So here we are. There ought to be something that says, "God, everything I've got is yours, and everything I can offer, please help me to do it. I want to give myself in a greater way than we have ever done." And so from these texts, we know this. Number one, God knows his creation. He certainly knows his people. And he loves his people. Thank God. Now, such knowledge is too high for us. Now, there's a lot of things too high for me. I lost my calendar twice this last year. And it threw my world into deep havoc. And I had to call Brother Bass and get his dates and make sure I was invited. And he sent me stuff, email and everything else, and we still call and ask questions on the way up here. And so I finally decided, okay, Booker, it's time to go into the 21st century, and I've never lost a phone yet, so I'm going to get one of these phones with brains on them. Okay? And I've told several here, it's like trying to teach a caveman how to drive a Porsche. I mean, it's a pitiful affair to watch. But I thank God there's people that help me. I got 12-year-old kids in the church that help me. And they know how to do it. And I've got two sons that help me. My oldest son, Joel, he helps us spiritually. He's one of our assistants and great young man. And then Philip, he owns a computer business and all that goes with it, and then my youngest son is a programmer for
a missile company.
But he loves us, so we're all right. Praise God, and so they know this. They know this stuff. They know this stuff. They really know this stuff. And then sometimes when we're over at the house, I hear those two talking Greek, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I cannot fathom what's coming out of their mouths. I pick up one out of every 10 words, and it's the computer lingo, and they're going away, and I'm just, it's unreal. But my middle son, he was talking to me here. It's been a few years ago, but he had a book that he was reading, and it was about computers and wizardry of that kind. And there was one man that installed a computer system for a major U.S. industry, and it took a long time to get everything set up and all the nuances worked out so that every department could flow in and out and do and go and communicate with all of their sources and resources from around the world. And I'm just one of those deals. And so they had a problem. They had a unique problem. And the brilliant people on staff couldn't figure it out. And so they grew desperate. And this man received a phone call one night late in the middle of the night. And they said, look, they woke him up. He's laying there and he's trying to get it together. And so they had his attention and they said, this is what's happening. And so he starts asking them questions. Okay, try this, try that. Have you checked this? Have you checked that? And after about an hour of, he said, okay, stop. He said, go to such and such a component part. And the man that knew Greek went where he was. And he said, okay, now pull that back and turn it around, take the plate off the back. And they did. He said, now you're going to see a group of wires there. He said, and he named the different colors of wires. He said, put your finger in there on the red wire and see if there's any slack in that wire. Pull that wire towards you with your finger. And he said, yes, it's coming. He said, now, how far is the loop out there? And he said, well, the loop is out. I mean, it's probably 2 inches away from the back. He said, okay. He said, cut 2 inches of length out of that red wire and piece it back together. Just black tape's fine. He said, that red wire is 2 inches too long. And it was. And it fixed it. And then he told me another story about a man that did installation work for the U.S. government. And the U.S. had just put out a relatively new naval destroyer. And he got a call around midnight. He was asleep. And the destroyer was on the other side of the world, and they were talking to him about their problem, and so he walked through it the same way, and he said, okay, there's such and such a component, go to such and such a deck, amen, and pull this out. He worked his way through it. He said it was a large component. He said, now pull it out. You take the back plate off. He said, no, he said, pull it out. And he said, in the lower left-hand corner down there, you're going to see a mouse that's dead, and it's gray. And he said, then you've got the part that the mouse was touching. You've got to clean that off, clean those terminals off. Da, 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 da. And they pulled it back, and there was the mouse, and it was gray. And he said, really, I didn't know it was gray. I was just joking there. But it was a mouse, and it was dead. And it was causing them their problems. Now, I said, are these stories real? And Phil said, yeah, they're real. And he said, I got a whole book full of them. And I'm thinking, here, man can know these kinds of things about machinery, about computers. And it's pretty interesting what man can know about man. There is a book called The Mind Hunter. Some of you may have read it. Written by an FBI agent by the name of John Douglas. Became a very proficient FBI profiler. And he talks in there about how he got into FBI profiling. And how that back... And he tells the story about how back in the 1950s, the city of New York was rocked by bombings. And over the course of about 15 years, there was 30 bombings in New York City, and they called him the Mad Bomber. And nobody could ever catch this guy. They could not catch the Mad Bomber. So finally, there was a psychiatrist that went through everything. His name is James A. James Brussel, and he studied all of the photographs of every bomb scene and the anonymous letters that the mad bomber sent into the New York Times. And he studied this and studied it and studied it and studied it. And then he asked to speak to all of the detectives and all of the police that had ever been involved with the manhunt for the mad bomber. And he got up. Now, this is in the 50s, 1957. And he says, okay, the perpetrator is a paranoid who hated his father. He is also a man that was obsessively loved his mother. He lives in Connecticut. He is a heavy, overweight man. He's middle-aged. He was foreign-born. He's a Roman Catholic. He's single. He's never been married. He lives with either a brother or sister. And when you... He's a disgruntled former employee of Consolidated Edison. And when you catch him, he'll be wearing a double-breasted suit and it will be buttoned. Well, the police officers and the detectives laughed him to scorn. I mean, they cracked up. This is 1957, and they cracked up laughing hysterically at Dr. A. James Brussel. But there was one officer there, and in the back of his mind, there was some ringing going on back there somewhere. And he went back to his office and he started going through all of the case files of everybody that had ever been interviewed, because there was something somewhere, and he found him. And so he went to the home of George Metesky. He worked for Consolidated Edison in the 1940s. He fit all of the above statements. He lived with two maiden sisters. And when the officers asked him to please come down for questioning, he went upstairs and he came down wearing a double-breasted suit, and it was buttoned. And they found their man. Now, that's a case of man studiously studying to understand man. This is why Paul said, who knows the spirit of man save the spirit of man that's in him? And who can know God save the spirit of God? You ain't going to know God without copious doses of his spirit, which means you must tarry long in his presence. And so it's just interesting what people can know and do. And I remember one time I had a Volkswagen Rabbit. And believe it or not, I did fit in it. In fact, me and my wife and three sons slept in it one time at the edge of the Grand Canyon, because we couldn't find a motel open. I mean, there was all the thing was booked up. And they were little. And I sat there and I said, I'm going to take pictures of the sun coming up over the Grand Canyon or I'm going to die. And I got out there and I was out of film. Praise God. So, having scratched that itch, we move on. Praise God. And anyway, this Volkswagen Rabbit was a little red light appeared on the dash. And it said, if it could speak, it was check your engine. And I was evangelizing. And, oh, come on, you know. And so one day I was driving down the road, and it was early in the morning, and there was a Volkswagen dealer. And I whipped in there, and there was a guy getting out of his car, a mechanic. And I said, hey, buddy. I said, you see that red light on that? What's that mean? He looked around. He said, pop your hood. So I popped it. I got out. He took a little screwdriver out of his pocket, and there was another red button on the firewall. He pushed it. And he said, don't tell anybody I did that. And he shut the hood and took off. God knows how much money he saved me that day. Pushing that little button with his screwdriver. That probably was a $100 job if it went inside there. No offense if you work in that business, praise God. But he knew those things. He knew those things. I remember one time when I was evangelizing, I was preaching for Elder Morton, and I had tweaked my back. When you're as tall as I am, you can do it. What you got to watch your back, Brother Smith. You know, we just us frail people, we got to watch it. It's a joke, anyway. But my back was tweaked. He had a chiropractor in his church, and I said, "Would you care if I go see that guy? I'm really hurting." And he goes, "No, I don't care." He said, "I'll take you." So we went in there and went office. He said, "Do you mind if I go in?" I said, "Well, I don't care. Whatever makes you happy, you know." So we go in there, and I'm sitting on the table, and this guy was unique, and he's looking at my back, and he said, "Brother Morton, watch this." And he put his fingers down at the bottom of my spine. He said, "Watch this. Listen close." And and my neck popped. He said, "That's neat, ain't it?" And Elder Morton really liked that. And he really enjoyed everything else that guy did to me. But when I got out of there, I was okay. I went to one of those guys one time down outside of Lake Charles, and I was in bad shape. And I said, "I'm going to tell my buddy." He goes, No. "I'm going to tell you what your problem is." He said, "Man," he said, "number one, you don't drink near enough water, do you?" I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "You ain't eating any kind of vegetables worth speaking of." I said, "This is true." He said, "You ain't sleeping right." Okay. He said, "You got flat feet." Yeah. "You don't have insoles for your shoes." I mean, it's like talking to Sherlock Holmes. This guy was... And all of this stuff. And he told me everything that was wrong with me. And I said, "Well, I'm hurt." He said, No, "you hurt right there, and you hurt right there, and you hurt right there." And then he, bam, bam, wham, bam, boom. You know? I go, Elder Westberg said, "If God don't heal you, go to a chiropractor." Amen. But there's people... Now, if you're a chiropractor here today, I expect something out of that. Praise God. But there's people that are so knowledgeable. So knowledgeable. I remember reading one time about Steinmetz. Steinmetz, he was a brilliant guy. Him and Tesla and Edison, they changed the world. But Edison did it with perspiration, and those guys did it with sheer brilliance. And he was having a real problem with an electrical producing station, and he checked out everything 20 times, couldn't figure it out. So he called Steinmetz, and he said, "Just come fix it. I'll pay you anything." Steinmetz went over there, and in an hour's time, he fixed it, and he sent him a bill. Now, this is back in the 20s, and he sent Edison a bill for $10,000. And Edison got back, and he said, "Hey, $10,000 is a lot of money for tinkering around for an hour." He said, "No." He said, "I only charged you $1,000 for tinkering. I charged you $9,000 for knowing where to tinker." Hallelujah. Now, I'm glad for a God that knows where to tinker. And he knows how to do it. I'm glad for the word of the Lord that's sharper than a two-edged sword. That it can go down between the joints and the marrow, and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And somebody can just be up preaching, amen. And they may have been working on a plow field the day before, but under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, they can just... And there you are. And God is working and doing things down inside of us. Because He loves us. And because... He knows us. Hallelujah. Amen. If man can understand the intricacies of computers and other men and cars and human bodies and electricity, how precious is the knowledge of God toward us? And more importantly, for this world. He, and I'm not just riding on Brother McMillan's coattails, but he'd be hard pressed to find any better. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, you know, most of the answers that this world needs are very simple. Most of the answers that we need are very, very simple. They're profound, but they're simple. And the secret that was given to us of tarrying in His presence, soaking. You know, man is a strange material, and we're in some ways we're so porous, and we can soak up things so quick. If you don't believe it, let you didn't tell it, you didn't hear it, you didn't want to hear it. But let an off-color joke run by your ears and see how long it is trying to get it out. How long does it take to learn a scripture? How long does it take to memorize some verses of scripture? Amen. Let an old worldly song you used to know before you come to Jesus. Amen. Sit down in a restaurant and somebody's playing it. And how large that can be. Amen. Spiritual things, human flesh is not real porous. That's the reason we've got to soak long time in the things of God. Hallelujah. Because it takes a while for those things, those enriching things, those changing things to get down in us. Amen. That's one of the biggest problems with Pentecost today. I'm sorry, but it's too lazy, and we want quick fixes. Amen. We want snappy answers, and God's got them. I'm telling you, God's got them. But we just and it comes from television. It comes from television. I'm gonna tell you, it comes from television. It's a society raised on it where they can see in 30 minutes and between 15 commercials. Some of the here's a normal situation. It gets horrible. And, oh my God! It's terrible. And there's 5 or 6 commercials, and then all of a sudden there's the answer. And then it titillates, and it gets them excited, and they like it, and they enjoy it. And they've run headlong, pell-mell, into the biggest mess. This world's in the biggest mess it can be in. And America and Hollywood's the biggest purveyors of that mess throughout the world. And now the Pentecost is starting to swallow that stuff wholesale. I'm going to tell you something. What we got to do is get back. Amen. And soak and saturate in the things of the Spirit, in the things of the Word of God. There's where the answers lie. There's where the hope is. There's where the help is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Complex issues are handled so readily. Amen. This is the children of Israel. They're up against the Red Sea. Here behind him is a dust cloud. Here comes Pharaoh and his army. And they're saying, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? This is the biggest mess. All we have to do is take a right back yonder. And here we are. We're stuck. And here's the water. And here's the dust cloud. And here's the Pharaoh. And he's madder than a wet hen. And here you are. And you're standing there. What are we going to do? You're in a mess. You brought us out here to die. Where could we just have died a simple death in Egypt? No. And I don't know what Moses started to say to God, but God cut him off. Said, wherefore are you crying unto me? You want an answer? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. He didn't give a long dissertation. He gave 2 words. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Amen. They started going, and the waters part. You know, the main thing the church got to do, we got to keep going forward. You can't go to the left. You can't go to the right. You certainly can't go back. We got to keep on walking. We got to keep on trucking. We got to keep on believing. We got to keep on worshiping. We got to keep on praying. We got to keep on in this blessed truth. We're not going anywhere but forward. Hallelujah. Let the world do what it wants. We're going forward. The ways of God are profound, but they're simple. Yes. Amen. Jesus, we got a real complex issue here. Amen. There have been people, they've been talking about this for a long, long, long season. Everybody's upset. Hillel couldn't figure it out. Shammai couldn't figure it out. Amen. And Rome's on our faces. Got us on our faces. And so we want to know, do we pay tribute or not? If he says yes, the people say, we're out of here. He's a follower of Rome. If he says no, they tell the Romans and the Romans kill him. So, we just want a simple answer. Yes or no? He says, give me a coin. What? What's he want? What's a coin? They flip him a coin. Whose picture's that? Caesar's. Then render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Render to God what belongs to God. The value of the mind of the Spirit. Amen. Two screaming women. Amen. That live baby's mine now. It's my baby. Your baby's dead. No, your baby's dead. Nobody was there. These are harlots. Then ain't one of them going to do so good on a lie detector test. And who's going to know? Now, this is pretty interesting to me. Just stop and think with me for a minute. Here's two ladies making their living by what they did. And one day, one of them came up with the worst news possible for a harlot to get. I'm pregnant. And the other one, oh no! There goes half our income. A few days later, the other one says, guess what? Here goes all our income. I'm pregnant. Worst news they could have got. The last thing on world they wanted was a baby. Until they had him. And the birth of a baby brought out the angels of their better natures. And now these hardened, cruel, brazen women cared for something, loved something, appreciated innocency. And isn't it amazing that when one overlaid it, and when she woke up and her baby was dead, she could have said, well, thank God, I don't have to worry about that no more. I'll go back to my business. But she didn't. What was really bad news all of a sudden, when she lost it, was horrible news. To the point that she would steal another baby and give her the dead one just so she could have something to love. And when the other one woke up, she could have said, that ain't my baby, but it is dead, and I know what's happened. At least I'm out of here. I don't have to worry about that no more. But there had been something born in them as well as through them. And she said, you got my baby. No, I don't. I got my baby. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. And Solomon is looking at him. He wants to lay that baby down right there. Okay. And he grabs the sword and said, we'll just cut it in two. And one woman screams, no, don't kill my baby. And the other woman, realizing it's all almost over, reverts back to her old type and said, if I can't have it, nobody gets it. Go ahead and kill it. It's amazing what all Solomon saw in a flash when he was right with God. What he could pick up. And when the one woman screamed, don't touch that baby, give it to her. He said, no, 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 this is your baby. And everybody went. Because God gave him that kind of insight. The world, brothers and sisters, is in desperate need of God's insight. I believe these dark hours that we are living in is the greatest hours for the church to shine. Amen. It is the worst of times, but it is the best of times. Hallelujah. If God would have said to Larry Booker some way, somehow, before this ever got started, if he'd have said, choose the time and place you would like to be born. The only other time in the world that even slightly tempts me would be in the days that Jesus walked on earth. And that was just 3.5 years. And I wouldn't do that unless I knew what I know now. Because I've been just like all the other people that didn't know what they had until it was gone. Amen. So outside of that, this is the greatest hour for the church to be in ever. Ever, 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 ever! Yes. Hallelujah. Trials, tears, temptations, traumas. Yes, amen. Amen. People giving up, selling out, going away to the world. Yes, it kills me. It breaks my heart. But I'm going to tell you, brother, God's going to have a church. God's going to have a people. This thing did not come in like a lion to go out like a whimpering, scared pup with his tail between his legs. He's going to have a church of the living God. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be bold. It's going to be victorious. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to tell you, Brother McMullen, I'm just sorry. You rang my bell so loud last night. That's the secret. It's what the world needs. His people that know how to spend time with Him and His Word. That's where the answer is. We need the mind of Christ.
Yes, mind begin.
We need His mind. That's what the world desperately needs. That's what your family needs. And God doesn't mind. He'll give it. He'll give it. I remember, if I can just tell this story, it's just a neat story. I don't care whose kid it would have been. It would have been an awesome story. My wife and I were gone one time. Joel was 12 years old. And a lady in the church called, and he was at home. We were actually in town, but we were over on the beach. We were in Arroyo Grande. And so any emergency comes up, call us there. And there was a nanny that was watching him. But a sister in the church called up. She was frantic. She said, my little girl, she got one of those long tongue combs of some kind. She got it wrapped up in her hair. It's stuck up in such knots. I've been working on it for 3 hours and it's stuck down in there. I can't get it. I don't want to cut my girl's hair, but it's got a big old knot that combs on it. I got to talk to your daddy. She said, well, my dad is like indisposed right now, but said, wait, sis, wait. Are you okay? Listen. Yeah. Said, can you see portions of the comb? Yeah. Do you have a big, strong pair of shears? Yeah, but I don't want to cut my girl's hair. No, don't cut your girl's hair. Reach down in that hair and cut that comb. Said, do what? Cut the comb. And then find another part and cut that part of the comb. Find another part and cut that part. And then take the pieces of the comb out piece by piece. She said, oh, okay. And when they told me that, I said, man, Joe, I'm glad you got that phone call. I'm going to tell you what, brother. I am so glad you got that phone call. It's there. If we can just hook up. The answers, hey, we're the people with the answers. And we don't know nothing.
Oh, this is so good.
But we know Him.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the answers. That's the reason, amen, when them old boys, they didn't listen to Him anyway, but they said, Jeremiah! Now we're going to do anything you tell us to do, but we got to know. We're going to stay here. We're going to Egypt. You hear from God. Tell us. We'll do anything you say. It took 10 days. But God spoke to him. He came back and said, you ready? We'll do anything you say. Stay here. Build houses. Plant your crops. There's going to be a segment gone for 70 years, but you don't go nowhere. God's going to take care of us. You're lying. And they went off to Egypt. But they went to the man that knew the God that had the answers. And when Josiah rents his garment upon hearing the reading of the law, there's got to be somebody in this kingdom that hears from God. And they said, take all that to hold of the prophetess. She knows how to hear from God. It means something to hear from God. My message is very simple today. God wants to talk to us. And the world needs to hear from Him. And if He's going to hear, it needs to be from us. I was just with Brother Walters out of Houston. This is pretty neat. And he was telling me how he was just visiting with a Norwegian pastor. He's Trinity. And this man is very famous in Europe. In fact, his father was more famous. And he was witnessing to him about the oneness of God, baptism in Jesus' name, and they got to discussing about holiness and the reasons that they live the way they do. And he said, my family, we don't have a television. He said, you don't even have a television? And he went through all of the reasons why. This man called him back a week later. He said, I have something I must tell you. He said, I took my family, my wife and my children, to a movie. And he said it was a action-packed movie. Very dramatic, very traumatic. All of the explosions and bombs and killings, but the cursings and the revilings and the filth. And he said, my family, we left there troubled. And he said, I must confess to you, what you had talked to me really troubled me. He said, and I went to bed that night thinking about what you said. And he said, the last words before I went to sleep was, God, I want to do right. My family's troubled tonight. And he said that at 3 a.m, he was wide awake. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Isaiah 33:14-16. And he said he knew it was God. He got up and he started reading. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions and shaketh his hand from holding of bribes. And he said, these words dumbfounded me. He that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. He said, I just want you to know. He said, I went around my house. I unplugged every television. He said, since that day, I have got rid of every television. I got every movie out of my house. He said, you affected me. And he said, I want to talk to you about that other stuff too. I'm going to tell you something. God, we're in the last days, brothers and sisters. He's just looking for people, amen, that'll say, Jesus, you're the answer, and you've got the answers, and you're big, and you're mighty, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you're not going to change. You've got the answer. Hallelujah. I mean, I know you've heard this story, but and Brother Brad Lamb has probably told you, but it's too good not to tell. how that he flew. He was in the States, and he was he flew from Dallas down to Miami, and he was going to Miami down to Sao Paulo, and he had 1 hour to get his luggage and then recheck it in to go down to Sao Paulo, and his luggage didn't show up. It was gone. And he went. He said, "Where's my luggage?" They checked on it. They said, "It's in Dallas. Didn't make it." He said, "My plane's leaving in an hour. I got to have my luggage. When's it coming?" They said, "Next flight. Be here in the morning." I didn't even know. And he knows. He said, "Sao Paulo, U.S., Miami Airport. If you don't leave with it, you will never see it again." And so this was years ago, and his grandmother was still alive. And his grandmother knew God. She knew how to get the mind to God. And he called her up. This was before the days of cell phones. He's standing in the payphone. He said, "Grandma, it's me, Brad." "Yes." "Listen," told her the whole story. She said, "Call me back in 10 minutes. "Whoa, dude." 10 minutes later, he calls her back. She said, "Brad, the payphone you're standing at is by a flight of stairs." He's standing there looking at the stairs. Said, "You go down those stairs, it'll turn around, go down, and there'll be a hallway there. When you come to the hallway, it goes to the left and it goes to the right. You go to the right. The second door on the right says personnel only. You go in there. There's an angel there and it's got your luggage." He said, "Okay, Grandma, thank you." And he hung up the phone. He walked down those stairs. There was the hallway. He looked to the left, looked to the right. He goes down. Here's the door. Here's the door. Personnel only. He opens it up. There's a woman standing there. He said, "Brother Lambeth, here's your luggage." He said, "Thank you." And he grabbed it and he ran and just barely made it. But he made the flight. That God is still alive and well. That God, He still got the answers for His people. And He loves us so much. He cares about the little things. Not just the big things. He cares about the little things. Such as that same dear elder sister Lambeth that the neighbor had a tree and half of it was on their property. But it was his tree. And the leaves kept filling up her yard. And she was old. She said, I'm too old to be picking up these leaves all the time. I can't afford to be paying people. Do you suppose maybe you could help me if something be done or this or that?" He said, "They're your leaves." She said, "Well, I guess I'm just going to have to take it to my friend." He said, "I'm going to tell you something. I'm friends with the mayor and 2/3 of the city council. You can talk to whoever you want to talk to." But when he went out there a few months later, and half that tree on her side was dead, his side was well and alive and shedding leaves in his yard, but her side was dead. That's our God, and that's our friend. And the same neighbor had a dog that wasn't fit for gunpowder and didn't need it anyway, and was mean and vicious, and sometimes the grandkids would come, and she was just scared to death that it was going to get neighbor's kids or going to get their grandkids, and she talked to him about the dog. "That's my dog, woman! It's in my yard!" But he could jump the fence and all this kind of stuff. She said, "I'll have to talk to my friend about it." And apparently, they weren't too far from a swamp. "All I know is," she said, "a beast came out of that swamp and tore that dog to shreds and went back." She said, "I'm glad he didn't just knock him in the head, because he'd have thought I poisoned him." God cares about little things. God cares about big things. God cares! He's mighty! He's good! He's precious! He knows our down sittings and our uprisings. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows where we are. He knows our world. He knows these are the last days. He knows who His people are. He knows who loves Him. He knows what He wants to do. He's looking for somebody to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. We want to be used in these things." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's all stand. God has got, God has God's got good things. Musicians come. I remember hearing a story about a man had a bird dog, and he was showing him off. He had landed estates, and he had everything you want to hunt out there. And he had this bird dog, and he wanted to show this man his bird dog. So there was quail far off there. That dog was quivering.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't go nowhere. Till the man said, go. Boom, like a bullet. He was born to hunt. He's running full bore. The quail don't even see him yet. And the man says, left! And the dog turns and starts running to the left. Back! The dog turns and starts running back. Keep going! He runs past the quail this way. Back! He goes back. Back home! Dog comes back. The man looks at him and says, you name the price, I'll buy that dog. I don't care how much. He said, not for sale. Because though the dog was born to hunt, more importantly, was his master's voice. Which is why Paul set his face to go into Asia. And he's headed that way, but the Spirit said, stop! He says, I'll go to Bithynia. And the Spirit said, stop! He's born to hunt. What do you want? And that night, he sees a man in Europe, and the course of world history was changed when he said, come help me. And they went to Macedonia and changed the course of world history. And then later, because he was faithful to the voice of his master, he said, come on back here to Asia. You go up in the second story of this house, start your little school here. There's no televisions, there's no radios, there's no newspapers, there's no publications, there's no printing presses, there's nothing. I'm just going to start doing some things. And you put hankies on your body and napkins. You wear them around for a day or so. And then, and by, you send this one out and that one out and that one. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul so that all Asia heard the word. Because somebody said, we're going to hear from God. And God's going to help us. You know what? I'm going to tell you. God only knows what He's doing right here in SCORE this year. I feel like Simon Peter. We ought to build 3 tabernacles. It's so good to be here. But the Holy Ghost knows what He's doing. And He's just looking for people to say, me too, God. Me too, God. I want it. I want anything. I want everything. You love me as much as you love anybody in this world. You understand me, but you still care. And all you want is somebody to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Hallelujah. I know we've had altars, and we're going to have them again. Hallelujah. But I think it'd just be good to come down and lift our hands and say, Jesus, here I am. from this day forward by the grace of God. I'm going to walk out. I may be walking 1,000 cubits before the water's up to my ankles, but I'm going to keep walking, God. And it may get to my knees, but I'm going to keep walking. And it'll get to my loins, but I'm going to keep walking, because there's waters that I can't swim through, man. But it's there. It's there. It's there. And He wants us to have it. Come on, Mama. Come on, Daddy. Come on, young man. Come on, young lady. He loves every one of us. And He's here to help us all today.
God.